A smattering of cars were parked at the local stores. She kept her mind clear, preferring not to speculate about what might be in store. Covered Bridge Lane dead-ended at the eponymous bridge. At one time, the bridge had crossed the Clare River as a main route for cars and trucks. But since the highway had come through half a mile to the north, it had been repurposed for local pedestrians and hiking tourists. Dana parked her car in the nearby dirt lot, beside an ambulance. She got out and turned up her collar against the cold. Her husband was always telling her to put on a real winter coat, but she preferred the black pea coat she'd been wearing for the last 10 years. She leaned against the car and slipped her feet into a pair of rain boots. She fished her badge out from her bag and hung it around her neck. She stuck a pair of latex gloves into her pocket and checked the magazine of her service weapon, holstering the gun. She didn't like to drive with the gun at her hip. Dana walked towards the bridge. The wind knifed into her. The autumn had been pleasant until recently. She'd even played in the leaves with her daughters. But November had come and ripped away the rest of the foliage, leaving the views brown and barren. She could smell the river as she neared, a fresh metallic smell, like a copper kettle. The sun was already low in the sky, even though it was only mid-afternoon. It darted in and out behind the trees as she walked. The two boys would have just gotten out of school. Probably they had taken a path through the woods. Hazelton School was back in the main part of town, but the athletic fields were near the covered bridge. She started over the bridge, her boots clomping across the wooden planks. She heard a noise behind her. More law enforcement arriving. She was halfway across the bridge, so she just kept going. She wanted to get there and have a look before the scene got too chaotic. The first few moments were critical. She broke into a jog, her footfalls echoing, the water burbling beneath. The Clare was usually a shallow river. In the spring, as the snow melted in the mountains and the rains came, it grew stronger and sometimes overflowed the banks. In summer, the river tamed, purling like silk over rocks and forest debris. The river wound alongside a small park with picnic tables. Beyond the park, a path led into the forest, through thick undergrowth, and opened on a handful of spots that accessed the river. Aside from these access points, the banks were a tangle of bushes. Before long, Dana gave up dry land and sloshed along the river's edge. She rounded a bend and saw them up ahead, Eddie Dickerson, who was a state trooper, and two EMTs. They were in the bushes, just out of the water. Dickerson saw Dana and raised a hand. Dana waved back, but kept her eyes on the river at her feet. As she drew closer, she thought she could see something next to the rocks, breaking the surface. Wet clothes. Memories stirred, chilling the blood in her veins. Dickerson and the two EMTs wore somber expressions. They all nodded to her as she waded closer, and then their eyes turned to the body in the water. The dead girl's hair was waving in the current. One hand was sticking out, a hip, a bare ankle. She was on her side, wedged between some larger rocks. Her face was a pale blur beneath the shimmering surface.
"I let the fire company go," Dickerson said. His voice was clear and crisp. "Nothing to extract. I'm pretty sure we could lift her right out of there."
Dana pushed her memories aside and took in the scene. The two EMTs had gear with them, an AED and two duffel bags packed with medical equipment. They had trampled the vegetation along the bank, their boots leaving prints in the mud. She looked beyond them. Birch and beech trees allowed some measure of visibility. Good deer hunting forest. She wondered what small branches were broken, what undergrowth had been stomped over by the men, what evidence remained. Then she gazed upriver, considering if the body had drifted down to here. Probably not, since the water was less than a foot deep in most places. So unlikely it had floated any distance. This was where the dead girl had entered the water. Dana squatted down to check for blood. Nothing visible from where she stood. Had the girl tripped and hit her head? If so, there might have been a gash, maybe even still a cloud of blood. But there wasn't. It was almost as if she were